Keisha Johnson joins us today on the Rising Tides podcast. We're hoping that you find some value in the message about how she's looking at creativity and some of the things that are inspiring to her. Also, please subscribe to this on Podbeam or on iTunes. We are available. And also take a look at our new Facebook page, the Rising Tides Charity Facebook page. That's an opportunity for you to upload and to share anything that you're doing from a creative perspective. So thank you so much and listen to this episode. Welcome everyone, this is Winston Wilson with the Rising Tides Charity. Welcome to our podcast. We are so excited that you've joined us today. We are really focused on making sure that we have the creative voices and those who are doing phenomenal things in the community take a moment to talk to us about some of the things that they're doing and some of the ways that we could potentially help others in the community. So today I've got a dear friend of mine and of the podcast and the charity. Keisha Johnson is not only a superstar in regards to her business acumen, but she's also a member of our organization. So I'm so excited to have you today, Keisha. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, it was great to have you. What we're going to do, Keisha, we're just going to have a conversation like we typically do. Keisha and I have known each other for, I don't know, maybe it's getting close to a decade now. And so we're just going to spend a few moments and just talking about the creative community. And for those of you, if this is your first time joining the Rising Tides podcast, please go to iTunes, subscribe, give us feedback. We want you to be down with the community. We want you to tell us what's going on. And for those of you not maybe aware, the Rising Tides charity is focused on helping people or give voice to their creative pursuits. So if you're in distress or stress and you've got something that you've always wanted to do or something that's you've been inhibited from doing for whatever reason, do it right now. Your voice creates worlds. So with that being said, Keisha, take a few moments and tell the audience here about yourself.
So great. I am an operations manager by day. It's my 9-to-5. And I also am a personal shopper, stylist, and a makeup artist. So I guess that both sides of the creative side.
Wow.
So that's what I do. I have been in Atlanta for about 8 years now. Getting adjusted to everything, getting to know my way around, and that's a shame because I've been here for 8 years. But
well, I've been here for a lot longer, and I still don't know my way around. So no one's going.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't feel bad. Every day someone tells me of a new place or new something, and then I turn to them and I go, I've never heard of that. So for as long as you'll be here, that'll be your experience. Hey, Keisha, there's one thing that I'm interested in, and maybe the audience is interested in as well, is that I know you're like myself, where I came to the United States as a baby from Jamaica, and you've come from somewhere as well. Tell us about that.
I'm from Monrovia, Liberia.
Wow.
Yes. West Africa.
Wow.
Beautiful place. I came to for good in 1996. America.
1996. I have to say that I get a sense, like, if you wouldn't have told me that and I just heard you, I would have never known that you were from the United States. You just sound like someone from, from Chicago or something like that, or from Atlanta. So,
Definitely. It flips,
You know, one time I did hear you, and I hate to put you on the spot one time, but I remember once we were working together, and there was a colleague of ours who I believe is from Nigeria. His name is Martins Iboma.
Martins.
Safe for throwing his name out there, but he'll be all right. And so I remember you and he starting to converse with each other, and I was just totally fascinated about what you guys were saying to each other. I thought it was really cool.
Like, we still shock people today. They have no idea.
I think it's awesome. I would not try to ask you to replicate that. That's like when someone hears that I'm from Jamaica and on spot they try to ask me to speak patois. And I can't do that on command. I can only do it like when, you know, it only happens when I talk to my mother or my sister, and even then it's just fragments.
When you get angry. Yes.
Or when I get angry?
Yes.
I think you're telling me that you've experienced that before.
I've heard it. It's awesome.
Really? I have no recollection of what you're referencing. Well, one of these days, maybe I should, when I am angry, which is very far and few between, you know, far between,
yes.
Maybe I should record myself because I can't tell that I have
That's
that.
Awesome.
You know? So I know that you said you're a personal shopper. Tell us about that. You know, what got you to that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
So when you got to the personal shopping, so you share that. Tell us how you got there. What are some of the ways that, what is it that got you to start to do that?
So I started personal shopping when I lived in Northern Virginia, so the D.C. area. I found that there are a lot of people who actually hated shopping, which was the weirdest thing to me. And at the time, I worked for a department store, and it would be like a lot of men would come in and they hated being in the mall. So they would ask me, they would give me a budget and would just ask me to go and shop for their like seasonal wardrobes. So I thought, let me branch off like to see if there are any opportunities. So my first client was my roommate. Wow. She hated going near the mall. So that's how I got started into it. She would give me a certain amount of money, and she trusted that everything that I purchased would be just what she needed. So that's how I started. I started that back in 2008. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that for a little over 10 years.
How do you, it sounds like 2008, that's 10 years. So, you know.
Let me go before that, yeah.
Yeah, how's it going? Is it going well?
So I have slowed down a little bit on that. I'm just starting to get back into it because it is very time consuming. So now I just picked up two clients now. So it's going to be a long, long, long next couple of weeks.
Wow.
So it's a lot of planning because you have to do a lot of pre-planning and really kind of going down their personalities and what they like, what they don't like,
right.
You know, preparing for if they gain 5 pounds, 10 pounds throughout the summer. So those type of things.
Oh, that sounds like that could be tricky.
Yes, but it works out. It's phenomenal. It's the best thing ever.
Yes, that's all. I understand. I recall us having a conversation here, you know, a while back, and you sharing that you were doing something around makeup as well.
Yes, I am a makeup artist as well. I have a company called Just Face It.
That's like the best name ever. Just Face It.
Thank you.
Now, tell me about that story. Is it different than your personal shopping?
So, I think it can be kind of in combination with both. So, it's kind of facing the, even though it has a connotation of, hey, this is your face. I'm beating your face. I'm doing your makeup on your face. But I think I took it in the sense of facing basically everything, like things that are holding you back from where you want to be or need to be, or do you want to feel this for the day or that for the day? It's just kind of I'm changing faces. That type of, I don't really know how to really kind of dig into it, but I kind of see it more so an internal feeling versus just the outside.
I hear it. I hear your passion about it too. That's like the most important piece, right? You know,
absolutely.
I don't think if anyone has ever seen your Insta, they would know exactly what you're talking about. You are definitely always, you know, on point on your Insta.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's cool. So one of the things that we always want to do with our guests here and talk about is just their view of the creative community here in Atlanta. And I think you have a unique perspective on it. So like for someone that's immersed in myself, like I've got theater stuff and film stuff that's going on, I have one vantage point and you have a different one. So if you could maybe just spend a couple of moments with the audience and just share with them some of your views in regards to some of the things you see that are of interest to you in the creative community here.
So what I like about Atlanta is there's constantly something that is new, original, the creative aspect of different shows, not just stage plays or anything like that, but different like art museums, the live music, different forms of music. They explore, they're very diverse in their creative world, you know. As it relates to the fashion side, though, I kind of see that we're kind of stuck. Oh. I don't know. we're kind of stuck behind, I would say, a lot of other places that I've lived and kind of been in. So it's interesting to see that you guys are so far ahead when it comes to the arts, the music, that type of artsy world. Yes. But when it comes to fashion, I'm like, oh, okay, we have a little bit ways to go.
Wow, that's a unique perspective. Why do you say that? And I'm hope I'm not one of those people that are far behind. But, well, why do you say that we're a little behind here in Atlanta?
Well, I think it could be just the availability in terms of everyone pretty much shops in the same place. Oh. The exploration of, you know, what's different. You don't really see a lot of risk taking, even though, or you would have someone who's in a want. Who's a 10, there's really no in between, you know. Oh. So it's unique that you don't really see a lot of people who have their own style.
Wow.
And it's not in a negative way, you know, not to say that in a negative way, but it was just, I guess, you know, living in DC, you know, four out of five people you see were different. Like that. So that's kind of what I say in the fashion side.
That's cool. So, you know, as we're filming this is this is Dragon Con weekend. So downtown you'll see all kinds of unique things. Not necessarily, you know, yes. It'll be all over the place. So there's lots of different things. It's interesting you share that about DC. Mm-hmm. So I go to DC mm-hmm. on a regular basis, and mm-hmm. one of the things I notice, number one, I'm very comfortable in DC because I like to wear suits, and there's lots of people mm-hmm. walking around in suits in DC, at least the places that I traverse. But mm-hmm. I do see a little bit of a difference in that regard. So that's something I guess I didn't really pick up on all the time, you know, because when I'm wearing a suit in DC, I'm walking fast because I got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. That is really, really fascinating. Anything else you see from that perspective? You know, when you think about that real quick, how do you think there are some ways that we could maybe impact that or shift that fashion sense?
Well, I think in tapping into your creative side. So as a stylist, I think my job is to basically get you to explore options that you wouldn't explore yourself. So I think a lot is comfort. You're already comfortable with something and you don't really want to take the risk to go further. So for example, my biggest thing was getting nails in pink shirts. You know, they're all things with pink shirts because they thought it was something else. But once they put it on, it changed their total, you know, their outlook on everything. And now they want to wear pink shirts every day.
This is awesome.
It's just one of those things of getting out your comfort zone.
I feel great. I'm okay with admitting this. I own 3 pink shirts and I love them.
Which
really
is awesome. And it's rare. You're probably, I don't know, one out of 6 people that I know that has worn a pink shirt.
I tell you, so. I am very, thorough and anal about my collection of stuff. And so I know almost to a T how many colors of how many shirts do I have about a particular thing. And one more last anal piece on this is that all of my stuff in my closet is arranged by color and by pattern. And so
I know that pattern.
Yeah, so if I have two blue shirts and there's check shirts, they're together. If they're two solid blue shirts that are together, they're there, they're next to each other, and then they graduate from dark to light. I'm telling you, that is like, you know, people who are listening to this podcast of getting a real insight into stuff they probably never cared about or wanted to know about. But they know more about me than they probably ever want to know. So
mm-hmm. I mean, having an organized closet, that changes your mood.
It does. So. You know, and one of the things that's interesting, that I think you really mm-hmm. touched on something, is that every year I go through a process, and every, you know, mm-hmm. there's people in the world who need stuff. And so every year I pick out a certain amount of clothes and I just give them to people. If they're not bringing joy to you, then you shouldn't have them anymore. And, you know, Marie Kondo, who's a real big organization expert, and probably a lot of mm-hmm. people know of her name, you know, she shares that if something you own doesn't bring you joy, then you should give it to mm-hmm. someone else. And that's part of like the minimalist movement. I'm sure you've heard of that mm-hmm. movement.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't go as far as they are. I heard something on Twitter like they only have 30 articles of clothing. I was like, oh my, I can't mm-hmm. do that. That's like, it's like 1925. So I can't do that.
But you could create probably 100 looks with 30 articles.
I know. I just haven't gotten to that point yet. I gotta one day get my mind to that place. But you're right. It gives you joy. If you give stuff to other people, right, then mm-hmm. they obviously are the human beings that need it, especially things like shirts and socks and mm-hmm. stuff like that, that they need it. And if it's not bringing joy, you shouldn't keep it in your closet. You've probably seen closets like that as well, where they're like four or five closets just packed of stuff.
Absolutely.
With no...
My sister. Oh. Yes.
So we will not identify Keisha's sister on the podcast, but she knows who she is, whichever one it might be.
Yes. I get rid of everything, so it's okay.
That is so cool. Hey, let me ask you about the community itself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tell us and tell the audience here a little bit about like those that you kind of admire, those that you view as being ones that you, or people that you look at and you say, you know, I aspire or they inspire me.
So thinking about that, I honestly look at two people. I know this might seem biased. There's a slew of people that I can say, but I look at my sister, number one.
Is this the same sister you were just talking? Is this the same sister you just? Is this the same sister you were just talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
I look at my sister. Awesome. You know, her name is Tangie Johnson.
I know Tangie.
And what I admire about her, she operates a mentor program with the court system. And her passion for children and their situations and circumstances and things, and how she utilizes, she kind of makes them tap into their creative mind in order to deter them from crime.
Wow.
So, like she just had them do they did a movie, you know, in which a lot of her kids were saying that they didn't know that they could do the things that they could, you know, mm-hmm. they did. They didn't know they could rap or sing or, you know, video edit and things like that. So she utilizes those types of exercises in order to get them off the streets, you know. So her passion for that, it drives me. When I say when I talk about it, even though I'm in the, you know, makeup sector or fashion sector, image and how people view themselves in terms of their self-esteem and everything kind of goes side by side. Right. So I think a lot of that can save their lives. So that drives me and it motivates me. me to keep on going. So yeah, she's one. And my father's another one. So he's heavy in the community too. He's on the church side. So he works with reconciliation of African-American churches. And he's very active in community stuff. He used to go a lot to the jails, you know, really kind of working with people and individuals to teach them about missions, you know, giving back to others in terms of sharing the gifts that you have, creative ways that don't involve money, you right. know, that just mainly involve time. And things that could help with the sustainability of life. So both of those are like a perfect image of I guess heroes to me.
That's so phenomenal. I know Tangie and I know her spirit. That is so, what she's doing is so unbelievable. You know, I've shared that from my view, our only real purpose in this life is to help other human beings. And what she's mm-hmm. doing is such an incredible mission. And your dad as well.
I agree.
You know, I look forward to the day when I can meet him, because I've seen some of the pictures and he seems to be all over the planet doing the thing yeah. that you talked about. And those people who dedicate that, you know, so like John Maxwell talks about the 5 levels of leadership. And mm-hmm. there's very few people who get to that 5th level. And everything you've shared with us today and shared, you know, in the past about your dad, sounds like he is doing that.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but that's just who he is. That's his, like, nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
That fifth level is when people start to transform their environments and their mm-hmm. world around them. Right, your dad is an mm-hmm. example, and there's probably few people in the history of our world that we say that have maximized that level 5. But your dad seems like a great example of this.
I agree, and he'll hate it if you give him praise. He'll just say, "I'm just doing my job," you know, what God made, you know, ordained him to do, but.
That's right.
It's really something to see.
You know, it's so funny because lots of people who are in leadership and mm-hmm. who've done leadership things, a lot of times they don't care about that. It's not like about mm-hmm. their ego about them being a leader is like the last thing on their mind. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't care about what my title is. I don't care about who knows what I'm doing. I'm just doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Yep.
That is the key thing there. So, Keisha, this has been awesome. You are a phenomenal person. I really appreciate not just what you're doing here for our podcast and in the community itself, but just being part of our organization. We're a new organization, but our mission is really clear that people who have a creative bone in their body, and every human being does, whether they want to make a building, an app, or a TV show, they've got one. And so when they're feeling a moment of stress or distress, we're going to be there for them. So I thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
I thank you so much for being part of this. Let me ask you one final question. If someone wanted yes. to reach out to you and talk to you further, is there a way that you would be okay with people reaching out to you?
Absolutely. You can email me or you can call me. You can follow me on social media. You can email me at justfaceit18@gmail.com. I'm on social media at libgagor81. So, Liberian Girl 81.
Oh, say that one more time.
libgal_81.
That's fantastic.
And that's Instagram or simply Keisha Johnson on Facebook. Definitely reach out to me. I'm better by email than I am about my phone.
Oh, really?
That hardly. Yeah, it's just, or text message or something like that. Because most of the time I don't hear my phone ring.
Yeah, you know, I am such a nerd about productivity things. I always talk about how many. One day I'm gonna do a podcast about how I manage all this stuff. I have 7 email addresses. I've got so many handles, GroupMe, WhatsApp, all this stuff. And every single day, by the end of the day, I've got a goal to kind of minimize that stuff so I can focus on doing things that are important, like talking to you, like having this conversation. So, Keisha, this has been great. This has been a phenomenal time. I appreciate it. We have spent almost a half an hour just really talking about this. You're doing great things here. Any final departing words for the audience?
As it relates to your creativity, tap into it. Explore. Always be willing to explore the unknown. It's a journey. It definitely helps you, you know, within the whole, if you're into fashion, you're into building apps, you're into whatever it is, try it out. It's like, keep working at it, keep doing it until you get that feel good moment. So embrace it, keep working at it. You'll get better with time. And if you need anything, please feel free to reach out to me.
Thank you so much, Keisha. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for what you're doing in the community and what you seek to do. I appreciate you and your vision.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Rising Tides podcast. We encourage you to continue to promote creativity amongst those that you know and those that you know it would have a benefit to. We also ask you to subscribe to our podcast and to get more feedback or give us feedback about what you're listening to. We really thank you for this, and we hope that we'll be able to communicate and ultimately help you with your creative journey.